Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to the Ask Brian Radio Show on KHS 1220 and 98.1 FM. Well, every week, we've been doing this now for over 6 years. I think our first show was in January 2017. And each week, we have a show where we try to either bring out something about business, interview a founder, interview somebody that can help us about business. And every week, everybody asks, why is a show called Ask Brian? My name is Peter. And why is Brian spelled with an E? Because I'm not Irish. My name is not O'Brien. I'm not Peter O'Brien. I'm Peter something else. And I don't know if people want to know what that is. So we do have a reason why we use E in Ask Brian. And so our engineer, which
that's
starts
right.
with an E,
Mr. That's the first
Andrew,
E there.
Mr. Andrew.
Doing great.
I like everything about him except he's got an LA Dodger hat and I'm a Met fan.
It's going to be a little rough.
It is always rough.
It's going to be a little rough. But we got it. But the E's, as you mentioned, let me give you the first one. E's for education, because you got to get educated on your sports teams, but also business as well.
Whoa. I guess we could educate you about business and explain to you why, when you have $16 billion like Mr. Cohen, you can sign up whoever you want. But yes, we do try to educate business owners, and that's why we use one of the reasons why an E is an Ask Brian, not because we are part of the O'Brien pub down the street, and we're not the O'Briens, and we don't have that. However, there are many, many reasons why we have the E.
Another one, E is for experts. And because you're talking about business, we interview guests, experts in their field.
Well, what does that mean, an expert? You know, I'm not a real smart guy. I just fell off the boat last week, and I don't know much about what I'm going on here, but I'm trying to figure out why.
To be an expert, they say there's a lot of definitions, but the definition that, you know, many people use is you need 10,000 hours at whatever field you're in. Whatever field that
is. Like 10,000 hours consecutive?
No, over the course. I mean, if you can do it, fantastic. You'd be an expert that much quickly.
Well, I guess 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I got 180. But, I'd probably be done in 2 years.
But let's break this down real quick. There's 52 weeks in a year with two for vacation, so that's 50. Roughly 50.
My boss won't let me take a vacation, but okay.
You know, well, man, you already got a jump. You got 2 weeks more than we do. But 40 hours a week, you know, on average. So 40 times 50, 2,000.
Well, you're good at math.
You know, real quick, off the top, got to be right here. You know, I'm starting. And then, you know, 40 times 50 is 2,000. And in 5 years, you take that around roughly 5 years, 2,000 hours, boom, that's 10,000.
Let me ask you a question.
Right there, and you're an expert in 5 years.
How long have you been an engineer?
Ooh, I think I'm a double expert by now.
If that's you're a double thing. Something, I don't know what that means.
Oh, yeah, for quite
you're
a while.
Double something.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so that gives you your 10,000 hours.
Okay.
But, so that's an expert. That covers experts, but that's not the only E.
There's have another other E's?
There's a whole plethora of E's. Let me give you one more. E is for experience, because experience counts. That's what I heard.
Well, experience does count, because I guess if you go through enough issues in life, you'll be experienced enough to be able to handle that problem when it arises. So experience definitely does count, but that doesn't mean that you can't be experienced and be 20 years old.
Right. There's some experience, but then, you know, it just builds that up.
You know, we're talking life experiences. What kind of experiences?
All experiences. You know, you bring everything to the table to make you that expert that you are.
Wow. Interesting.
And what's another E that we have? I think you know.
Excitement! Woo! I'm so excited.
Yeah, or what's another word for excitement?
Enthusiasm.
There it is.
Very bland enthusiasm. That's what I mean.
You're excited definitely for that. But there's also another big E that you have to have in business. Well, the experts that put in those 10,000 hours say you have to have, and that's empathy.
Empathy? Well, you know what? I can fit into the shoes of both my guest and my co-host. So since my foot is small enough to fit in both of their shoes, I definitely have empathy.
Right, and that's going to help you understand your audience, you know, the customers, and
I hope
what they
people
want.
Know what empathy is. Some people don't. There are a couple narcissists out there, I hate to tell you.
Yeah, a couple narcissists out there, but you know what? They're going to fall by the wayside. If you're truly empathetic, you'll go far in business. Again, that's what I've heard. Or
that's
heard on
heard.
This show.
Oh, because you were educated about that, huh?
And if you take all of that, one big E is for entrepreneur. And that's who we talk to, as well as experts on this
show. Well, yes, entrepreneurs are a big part of it. And actually, one of the things you didn't discuss, and it's not on your notes, and unfortunately he does have notes today, the reality is that if you're an entrepreneur, you probably don't need 5 years' experience. Why? Because an entrepreneur is typically working 80 to 100 hours a week. So you can get
getting that much quicker.
Become an expert in probably 2 years if you're an entrepreneur, because most entrepreneurs are working at least 10 to 12 hours a day.
At least. That's why I'm a double expert in this, not an entrepreneur there.
You're a double E?
Yeah, there you go.
You're a double E. Okay. Nice to know. Our engineer is a double E.
And that kind of covers the E, because you already mentioned at the top one of the best E's.
Hold on. But our co-host that's unavailable today, she has one, on your list, okay? And can you do it?
I'll set you up and then see if you can do it. Okay, what's the other E that your co-host is well famous for?
All right, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to make you sound.
Okay.
Grease Lightning is
electrifying.
Woohoo!
I tried to give it a little twang, but I don't know if I did it right.
Well, that's good. That's really important. I think that we may have one or two more E's, but we do have to go on the show because basically my co-host is going, are you ever going to have a conversation here? And the guest is going, what did I get myself into? So without any further
ado.
And why do I like that word?
Because it has one consonant and the rest are vowels.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Word. Absolutely. And we're like, no other show in the world. All right. Ask Brian. All right. So we have our guest, if he's still there. Harrison, you there?
I'm here.
All right. I didn't want to make sure you didn't say, uh-oh, I made a mistake. I don't know why I said yes, but okay. So you're still there. And everyone, we have a co-host that is actually, he's been on the show once or twice himself. Is he there, Bill?
I am.
All right.
I am. Can I add a couple of E's to the mix?
Certainly. Go ahead.
When I think about the host, the words that come to mind are egregious ego. Does that work?
I don't know what those mean. You'll have to educate us.
anyway.
That was a good one.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me as a co-host. It's a nice break in the day from my other duties.
I know you'd rather spend 100 hours dealing with other issues, I'm sure. But, every once in a while, it's okay to take a break and be on a radio show. So, Harrison, people don't know who you are, so let's go a little bit about your background. Currently, we know where you're working, but give a brief summary of where you've worked and your brief history. So where did you start?
Sure. Working? Absolutely. Well, first off, thanks for having me on the show, guys. Really appreciate it. Big fan. So I'm a four times expert based on the math that was explained earlier. I've been, a engineer since I was 12 years old.
Wow.
I'm going on 38 next week, actually, but, I've been doing this for quite some time. I started, coding websites for, one thing you notice about me, if you ever meet me in person, I'm 6'10", so I've played a lot of basketball growing up, and, when I wasn't on the court, I was always on the computer, making websites, making apps, doing things like that, started working in marketing and sales, worked for, a Fortune 100 company called TM BuzzTime. I worked for JWT, which is, one of the largest agencies in the world, as a software developer there. I worked as a senior front-end developer for a couple of other agencies. I worked as the director of engineering for a company called SmashTech, which is, 4 years in a row now, one of the top companies to work here in San Diego, where I live currently. I just got done working for a company called Manscaped, which is, another billion-dollar company. And I was teaching web development at UCSD, California, San Diego. Also, the Learn Academy, I was a lead instructor there. And now I am director of e-commerce for Targus.
So, that's a lot of stuff to go over. We're not going to go over each one of those companies, but we will maybe. But anyway, so the first question is, you have this coding background. What are you doing currently for Targus?
Well, so as director of e-commerce, I'm essentially responsible for all of the e-commerce websites. So that includes both the development of and also the marketing of our e-commerce platforms.
So when you say you're responsible on the development side, does that mean that you're actually creating the website and coming up with a plan of how the website should look and feel and features to add onto it, or you're just monitoring it and, you know, making sure that everything's running on time?
Well, so I'm leading a team of 4 in-house employees and then 2 engineering teams, offshore engineering teams. So I, you know, don't have my hands in the code so much anymore. What I do audit the code from time to time, just making sure that, you know, we're continuously optimizing and, you know, improving our page speed scores and, you know, making sure it's, you know, as fast as possible, and also, you know, ensuring that we are converting our traffic at, you know, higher and higher rates.
So are you a software engineer?
Well, so I have been a software engineer, but as director of e-commerce, I'm not exactly engineering anymore. I'm doing a lot of conversion rate optimization. I'm reviewing the code and telling our software engineers what to do exactly and how to make sure our code base is more stable than it was.
Now, you also said marketing, so it sounds like with that background, it sounds to me like that's a big issue would be SEO, right? Because you've got the coding
Absolutely.
Background and you've got the marketing background, and so I just think the marriage there would be SEO.
Yes, SEO is definitely a big piece of it, you know, but you know, there's a lot of different pieces to the marketing puzzle, right? You know, both inbound and outbound marketing. You know, working with affiliates, working with our email marketing platforms, working with, you know, just, you know, all of our promotions and making sure that, you know, our prices, you know, are continuously being optimized as well to get the most bang for the buck.
So not everybody knows Targus. I only know them because I think I had a laptop bag like 10 years ago. I don't even know how long they're around, but I did have a laptop bag. What are the products, main products that Targus sells?
Sure. So Targus has been around for over 30 years. Our main products right now are docking stations. So if you have, you know, 2 monitors at your desk and you have, you know, a bunch of different things you have to plug in with USB, you buy one of our docks and it allows you to, you know, have a, you know, a workstation of the beast. And, you know, we also sell all kinds of things from mice to keyboards, laptop bags, as you mentioned, backpacks. You know, tablet cases, I think, one of our top sellers right now. You know, if you want to protect your iPad or anything like that. We actually have some of the best protection in the industry, from our bags to our tablet cases, our laptop cases. They're some of the most protected accessories you can buy.
So basically accessories, do you sell technology or just the, you know, pieces like the bags and the protection stuff, are you actually selling technology in the sense of, you know, USB or surge protector or that type of stuff?
Yeah, so we do have you know, the docking stations I mentioned, which is technology. We do have, you know, styluses, and we do have other technology that you can purchase in addition to, you know, the cases and bags.
And is that how Targus started out, or did they just grow into this concept?
We actually grew into it. I believe, you know, when Targus first started, it was laptop bags and backpacks. And then, you know, quickly, you know, realized that, you know, the things that you put into the bags are something else we could sell. So we got into the hardware and technology space as well. You know, we made a purchase a couple years ago of Hyper. And Hyper also does technology. A lot of your USBs and dongles and power chargers and cables and things like that. We also purchased a company called Senna, Senna Cases, which does a lot of your different types of, you know, phone cases and tablet cases, a lot of leather products. And, you know, Targus has been looking to acquire other companies over time. We actually just got acquired by, you know, another company just recently. And you guys can look up who that company was. I don't want to get too much into it. I don't know if I'm allowed to reveal that yet, but, you know, we are now part of a publicly traded company.
Wow, that's pretty big. And how many people are working over in your company right now, approximately?
Oh, there's hundreds of us. I want to say close to 500, maybe.
And are they all based in San Diego where you are, or are you just working remote?
I'm working remote, but the company's headquartered in Anaheim. But we have, you know, offices all over the world. You know, we've got regional offices in, you know, EMEA, UK, Latin America, Asia Pacific, Australia, all over.
So what percentage of your sales are over the internet versus and what other methods are you selling your products? Or is it exclusively over the internet?
Well, so e-commerce is actually relatively new. You know, we've been primarily in retail stores. So if you ever go to Best Buy or Target even, you go to the airport, you know, you'll find a lot of Target's products. We also sell B2B. So, you know, we work with Dell and Lenovo, and we just have signed a really big deal with Samsung. We are Samsung's preferred accessory partner now. So, you know, we've been working, I would say, you know, e-commerce is probably, you know, maybe less than 10% of our total business.
And in working on the e-commerce side, you have to deal with, obviously, you're dealing with the coding and the SEO part for the people. I imagine you're using PPC campaigns and all these other things, affiliate marketing. I don't know what other programs you have. I can ask the question since I don't know. Do you have any type of reseller programs, or is it just, or do you might maybe just sell to wholesalers, or is it just exclusively through the through the affiliate market channel?
There are resellers out there, distributors as well. You know, we do sell through our affiliate programs. We do PPC campaigns as well, primarily Google and Bing right now. You know, social media is something else we're focused on. Social commerce is something we're focused on moving forward in 2023 and 2024. You know, we're just like any other, you know, major company out there that's selling online. You know, we you know, have been primarily focused on B2B, but now we're really getting into the B2C space.
Wow, that's interesting. Bill, did you have a question?
Yeah, I did, Harrison. And so, you know, I'm the CEO of a food company, and I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. So naturally, my question is going to be about your Princeton career. So I'm a wannabe, in the old days, decent basketball player. I wasn't, but I thought I was. Question on during your Princeton days, were those the Princeton offense days where you guys were primarily defense-driven?
That's absolutely correct, yes. You know, when I got recruited, I was the top, you know, 10 basketball player and coming out of high school. You know, I got recruited by all the major colleges, Duke, Arizona, Kansas. But John Thompson, I guess the third, you know, he was the head coach of Princeton at the time, and he recruited me. And, you know, when I got to school there, you know, we were running the Princeton offense, you know, and it was definitely different than what I was used to in high school, where in high school I went to Modern Day in Santa Ana, which was, you know, one of the top five schools in the country for sports in general. But, you know, we were running and gunning in high school, and then, you know, come to Princeton. Yeah, I think we had like a 44-point game once. You know, it was just, it was definitely different slowing the ball down that much and just, you know, running that backdoor offense.
Well, it was interesting to watch, you know, because you had all those high-power offenses in college, and I really thought it was kind of cool to, you know, not just watch the, you know, offense and people on defense, just, you know, the Matador defense, if you will. So it was kind of, I found it real interesting. I mean, sometimes it was a little bit hard to watch, but, you know, you being 6'10", I mean, you had to be an anchor of the defense, I'm sure. And that must have been a real interesting time. So in high school, you probably averaged in the teens or 20s, right? And certainly different in college.
Right. That's right, yeah. I mean, it definitely was different. You know, Princeton offense, you had to be the great equalizer. You got a bunch of nerds on the court. You got to compete with the Duke basketball guys, you know, somehow. So, you know, running that Princeton offense and, you know, slowing the ball down and controlling the clock, it was definitely important and integral to, you know, the overall goal.
Well, how cool. You know, it was, like I said, it was really fun to watch, and I'm sure I've seen you play many, many times. And did you guys ever make it to the tournament?
We did, yeah. My freshman year, we made it to the tournament, played against
Texas in the first round, and we ended up losing that game. But, you know, we did win our Ivy League, and we did get there, and, you know, it was, you know, surreal, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I can't imagine. Well, obviously, I can't imagine. I mean, what an experience that must have been. On your career side, so you've been an engineer. Obviously, SEO is a big part of what you're doing now. Just a question for other entrepreneurs. As far as these new products that come in, does Targus or your other companies, have they created their own? Do they bring in other folks or other products? Or how does that typically work?
We do have a product development team, and each one of our other subsidiaries do have their own product teams as well. So we're continuously coming out and innovating new products all the time.
We're going to be taking a break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Ask Brian Radio Show on KHS 1220 and 98.1 FM. Well, that was short. Welcome back. You listen to the Ask Brian Radio Show on KHS 1220 and 98.1 FM. Well, we have our guest today is Harrison. And Harrison, as our co-host has indicated, he used to play basketball on the Princeton team. So the question is, and the viewers want to know, how does playing in that super, super defensive team of Princeton help you out in business?
Well, you know, first off, working with a team is really important, right? You know, knowing who's on your team, who you can rely on, and also you're just being able to, you know, go out and, you know, face the competition every day, right? Understand, you know, playing basketball, we watch tape all the time. So same thing with business, right? We have to go out and understand what our competition is doing, who they are, you know, and how we can you know, take a piece of that market share away from them, and, you know, do that with a team that you can rely on and, you know, people that you can, you know, trust going to battle every day. So I think playing basketball definitely prepared me for business and, you know, especially learning how to work with a team, trust my team, and also face the competition.
So in light of that, what was the biggest challenge you had when you started out in business?
One of the biggest challenges was getting experience, right? Everyone wants you to have experience, but, you know, you can't get experience, you don't have experience. I think that was one of the biggest challenges starting off in business. You know, especially making the transition from being on the court and being so physical all the time to, you know, being in a cubicle. I think that was another challenge. you know, one of my first jobs was as a junior associate on the product team. And then, you know, really figuring out what I wanted to do rather than, you know, what was available for me to do. So there was a lot of, you know, just, kind of learning curve. It was a big learning curve, kind of just getting going in the industry. But thankfully, you know, my father, you know, he ran his own business and, he was a businessman. He was able to give me a lot of different pointers, as a young man. And, you know, I was able to quickly find my way and, you know, really follow my passion. I think that was one of the best pieces of advice he ever gave me was, you know, doing what I loved. I know it's like cliche now, right? If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. So I've always been, you know, really passionate about technology and engineering and, you know, also, you know, just working with people and helping build businesses. So, and that's what I've done, you know, and that's why I feel like I'm, you know, a 38-year-old man now, but I haven't worked a day in my life.
Well, that's always good. What do you think is, if you're a business owner and you have a store, you know, we're up in Newhall, California, and you have a business, you have a store, and you just started your website recently, you've took a while to get there, okay, what's the best thing you can do for SEO, that search engine optimization? What can you do for yourself, I mean, without spending $1 million on an SEO company?
Well, before you worry about SEO, right, because SEO is going to bring people to your website, you want to make sure your website is optimized, right? You want to make sure it's fast. I think, you know, one piece of kind of like a quote that I heard during my career is that speed wins. So, you know, making sure your website is optimized. You can always go to do a Lighthouse audit through Google, or go to do a PageSpeed audit through Google, or if you have Shopify, Shopify also does PageSpeed scores for you. You know, make sure your site is fast, right? And then once your site is optimized and fast and it looks the way you want it to look, then worry about getting people to your site. And, you know, making sure your products have, you know, good naming conventions, your images are optimized and they're clean and they're retina ready. Making sure that, you know, you have very limited or fewer clicks to purchase, right? You don't want people to have to go on a mission just to try to purchase something. You know, and from an SEO standpoint, again, making sure you identify what your keywords are, right? You can always analyze what your competition is doing and then start from there. That way you don't have to just start from scratch. There's lots of tools, you know, spy tools that you can use to figure out what your competition is targeting in terms of keywords. And then it's not just keywords, but it's also key phrases too. So there's lots of different ways you can create or build your list of keywords and key phrases that you want to target and be able to get ranked for on the different search engines.
So what if you don't have your own website? What if you're using Wix or Weebly or Square or any platform out there? Are there ways to SEO yourself?
Absolutely. You know, I always advise people to start with one of those first before you jump in and spend a bunch of money building your own, you know, custom website, right? I think, you know, even starting with something like, you know, a WordPress, right, using WooCommerce, I think it's probably one of the cheapest options. And then once you graduate from WordPress, you go to Shopify, and then from Shopify, you then build out your own headless system. But, you know, CMS systems, content management systems like WordPress, Squarespace, Wix, Weebly, they all have add-ons or plugins that you can purchase or get for free. And a lot of those do focus on SEO. So it's usually one-click installs of some of these apps, and you can then install it on your different, you know, whatever provider it is, and it'll help help you identify what your keywords are and then help really organize your content so that search engines can find you better.
And we have 1 minute before sponsorship, but if you have one of these platforms and you use one of them that we just went over and then you decide to go custom or switch the platform, are you going to keep your SEO, or does it go with the domain or with the platform?
Typically, it goes with the platform, but you can keep your strategy intact for whichever platform you're using. You know, different plugins or different add-ons might be different from tool to tool or system to system, but overall, you can keep your same strategy. You just might have to re-enter some things in order to keep it going.
So would you lose anything if you switch the platform from a Wix to a WordPress, or from WordPress to Weebly? Or
no, you're not going to lose anything, you know, because, again, your search engines are looking at what your current domain is functioning under. So if you have, you know, your website under Wix and then you want to move to Shopify, typically you'll have a Shopify website in development before you launch it publicly. So once you launch it publicly, it should have all the SEO intact. So when the domains get pointed or repointed to the new system, all the SEO will still be exactly where it should be.
Super. We got to take a break for our sponsor. So hopefully they're there. Orson, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing, Peter?
All right. How are you, man? So people don't know, and we have two companies that sponsor us. So one company is Albany Farms, and people don't know what Albany Farms is about. They think it's a farm in Albany, some New York, because that's the capital or something. So what exactly is Albany Farms?
Yeah, Albany Farms is a ramen factory located in South Dakota. Hopefully one day we'll be one of the top ramen factories. Just, you know, it's a great opportunity. It's we have the brand is Twisted Noodle,
And you're selling to, I know you're selling to Walmart Canada. Name another store if you know another place where people can get.
Walmart Canada, Target, ATB.
Okay, and you're going to go into more places.
And it's made in USA.
It's made in the USA. That's important. USA, USA. Oh, I thought I was doing my Olympic thing. And then there's another company that sponsors us, and I don't know too much about them. It's called Legal Steps, and it has something to do with, I guess, you know, walking up the steps of the courthouse or something. What exactly is Legal Steps? And it's spelled with a Z, because people can't spell there, but go ahead.
Yes, Legal Steps with a Z. Legal Steps is a great opportunity to become a business owner. Me, myself, somebody that wants to be an entrepreneur self, easy, you can go online. Go to Legal Steps, very good prices, great opportunity, and it's also a U.S. corporation, and just, you know, you can have a great opportunity to start a business.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you very much, Austin. We'll be speaking to you in the future. I appreciate your assistance there. Back to the show. So, Harrison, Bill is like going, when can I ask my question? So I got to let him in. So go ahead, Bill.
Well, yeah, well, the host, we already talked about ego earlier, so we'll get into that next time.
You mean like your basketball ego? I forgot. Yes, sir. Right.
I got my ego in check about 30 years ago. But at any rate, Harrison, you mentioned doing things you love, and you were, you know, taught that by your dad, which is amazing. But I think, you know, one of the things when you play basketball, I'm sure, you know, no matter how good you are, there's always somebody that, you know, can shoot just as well or better, jump higher and quicker and all those wonderful things. But you learn to overcome it. You learn to find ways through that and become better and challenge yourself. And I'm sure in your career with all your different endeavors, which are quite a few, that you've also done that same thing. And so a question I have is, from what I understand, there are some physical challenges that you're facing, and I think for the folks that are listening, I think it's I think they'd be quite interested to hear how, you know, you're dealing with things like that, how you're overcoming, and you know, and what the future looks like, and how you're maintaining your terrific attitude today.
All 10 questions in 10 seconds. Go ahead.
You know, so, back in 2008, I was diagnosed with type 1 late onset child diabetes. And so I've been dealing with that for the past, you know, however many years now. And because of that, you know, last year, end of 2021, I was diagnosed with stage 4 renal failure. And so I actually, you know, been on dialysis for the past year and a half now. So, you know, just a couple different things that are, you know, pretty big deals, but, you know, whenever a door closes, a window opens, so to speak, right? So, you know, I am on dialysis now, but I do get, you know, 4 hours to myself every other day, right? So, you know, I sit there in the chair and I, you know, do the dialysis thing, but I have my computer with me. So I'm always working on something while I'm there. And I, you know, don't get any phone calls. I don't have to be in any meetings. I just get, you know, 4 hours of time just to work on, you know, different projects. So, you know, at first, you know, when I first was diagnosed, obviously it was a huge setback, but, you know, I made the most out of it. You know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, that God will never give us more than we can handle. And, you know, there's always a reason for everything. And so, you know, whether it's God or energy or whatever you believe in, you know, I still believe that there's a purpose for it all. So, you know, keeping us a good attitude about things allows a person like myself to be able to take advantage of every opportunity, right? And everything is an opportunity, I believe. Whether it's, you know, a bridge or it's something direct, you know, there's always something that I can, you know, take advantage of in order to get myself to where I want to be. And I think that, you know, that thing goes with basketball, right? You know, I played against guys like LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony and Chris Paul. And like you said, a lot of those guys can dribble the ball faster, shoot the ball better, you know, jump higher. But, you know, at every stage, you know, every person I'm playing against gets me more prepared for the next person I'm playing against. And so, You know, when I was playing against LeBron James, for instance, I had just had my ACL sprained. So I was playing with a knee brace the whole time, right? And I couldn't jump that high. I couldn't shoot that well, but I could box out and I can get some rebounds. You know, and I just did whatever I could to, you know, help the team out. And I think the same thing goes for, you know, my career now. You know, I might not be the most healthiest condition, but, you know, I've got time and I've got my brain. And if I can use my time to use my brain, then, you know, I will. So, you know, that's how I was raised by my parents. You know, they always taught me to, you know, take advantage of every opportunity and leave it all on the floor, so to speak.
Which I think is such an important, you know, thought for a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people in business, a lot of people in life, that, you know, the attitude that you have to things that are happening, whether they're physical or emotional or other things, it I know it sounds easy, but it's not easy, and it sounds like you've mastered the, you know, the make the best out of the situation and find different ways to succeed. And I'll tell you, you know, me being an entrepreneur myself, I think that, you know, overcoming obstacles is probably one of the best things that have happened to me. And I'm not saying getting a sickness is great. Obviously, it's not. But, boy, what a story to deal with that and to overcome that. To a lot of people, you know, have 4 hours, you know, in a somewhere, and that would be a very debilitating thing, yet you're taking advantage of it. And I just think that's really amazing and something that should teach a lot of people that no matter what it is, you can overcome it. You know, you might have to read
things.
Yeah, but awesome.
We're going to be
Go
ahead.
So go ahead.
We're going to be taking a break. So as soon as you're done, we're going to take a break right after that. Go ahead.
The only thing I have to say about that is, you know, everyone's got something they're dealing with. Right. And, you know, we could either choose to focus on, you know, our problems, or we could focus and choose on how we're going to overcome those problems. And, you know, if as long as we, you know, have fingers and toes or, you know, or not, you know, you have a brain, you have a mouth, you have something that, you know, you can help better the world or your own situation, then I say take advantage of it.
That's great. We're going to be taking a break listening to KHS 1220 98.1 FM, the S. Brian Show. Welcome back. You're listening to the Ask Brian Radio Show on KHS 1220 and 98.1 FM. We've been interviewing Harrison. We've learned a lot about him. So we have two more things. One is, how can people reach you, Harrison?
People can find me. You can, you know, go on targus.com. First off, our website, targus.com. And you can email me at hshane, that's H-S-C-H-A-E-N, at targus.com. It's the best way to get a hold of me. Just send me an email, and we can set something up from there.
And so they can do anything, you know, maybe potentially with business with you, but also that's also would be a good point, because I know you'd mentioned earlier about the fact that you are looking for a kidney. So if anyone can help them out, that would be super too. So how can they do that? Would it go through that email address, or is there another way to reach you?
Yeah, you can send me an email there, or you can actually go to LomaLindaLivingDonor.org and fill out the form there. That's the hostel I'm going through is Loma Linda University there. So it's LomaLinda LivingDonor.org.
Okay, that'd be super. And so somebody would just sign up there and see whether or not they're a fit. Is that how it works?
That's right.
Okay, that's great. Every week, as we told you, we have the Ask Brian Radio Show, and this is a live version, obviously, on Facebook Live and YouTube, etc. However, we also have a podcast version, and guess what? It doesn't have the commercials. Uh-oh. So it doesn't have the commercials, so you can get through it really quick, and it's on all the major sponsors. We have Apple, Spotify, you name it, it's there. You can get a podcast version. It's a little bit shorter, maybe 5 to 6 minutes, because they don't have any commercials. But it's a good way to learn. Or if you've missed this episode, or if you want to watch another episode on a different subject, you know, we have every subject you can think of, from social media to forming a corporation, to registering a trademark. There's many, many different ways that Ask Brian can help you. And so you can, it's kind of like a library or a university of knowledge. And so we have that there available. So we've got about 2 minutes left before we go. And so some of the information people want to know is, how much money do you need to have a PPC campaign? I know you can start with $10, okay? But, you know, obviously you want to, you know, you've got people out there spending millions of dollars, and you're, you know, maybe you just have a little local business. How can you compete, and what kind of monies do you have to spend on a PPC campaign?
I mean, I would say take 30% of whatever your revenue is and invest that in marketing. You know, what works for you, you're going to have to test, right? You know, you can be really good at email, you can be really good at PPC, on Google, Bing, on Facebook, Instagram, right? You're really just going to have to put some money into the machine and optimize your machine, right? So, you know, and keep optimizing until you really know what you're going to get a return, right? I know for a fact, you know, when I was running my business, if I put $1 into the machine, I was going to get $4 back. And it didn't matter how much money I put in, it was always going to be a 4X return.
I'll give you $10,000 and give me back $40. Okay, thanks.
I will. I'll optimize it for you.
If you're starting a business, you know, what's a minimum budget you think you need? I know you said 30%, but, you know, obviously if you're starting a brand new business, you don't have revenue yet, what's a minimum, $1,000 a month or something, or what?
I mean, listen, I took a campaign. I spent $5 on Instagram ads. And, you know, we were able to sell 100 tickets to a show, right? You know, the guy had a very limited budget. You can always find ways to market. And a lot of times you don't even need to have money to market things. You can create viral videos. You can get on TikTok. So, you know, you can start a blog. There's lots of different ways you can start marketing. It's all about connecting with your audience, being authentic, and really telling your story and what sets you apart. What's your competitive advantage? One thing I started, you know, was called the Mars model. And the Mars model essentially talks about being mindful, how to adapt your message, right? How to reiterate your message and how to summarize your message. And it really took that whole idea of features, advantages, and benefits and flipped it on its head. So start with the benefits and then talk about the advantages and then talk about the features. But always ask someone if they're interested. And you can do that with a direct, D2C campaign. You can do it with ads. You can have the landing pages. You know, really, you can be very cost efficient with your marketing dollars. So I would say if you have $20, $50, you know, $500, there's something you can do to really grow your marketing budget.
Wow, that was awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you, Bill, for co-hosting. Listen to the Ask Brian Radio Show on KHS 1220, 98.1 FM. Over and out!